Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com, and the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Very excited about having our good friend Cliff Inico back on the show. He's one of the attorneys in our brain trust. Couldn't do without him. Author of the eBay Business Answer Book, the crowdfunding book. You got to have that book if you want to know more about crowdfunding. It's very important. Cliff, thanks again for being here. You'll see his columns all over the place. SucceedingInYourBusiness.com is his website. Cliff, you were telling us about an increase recently in non-compete, non-disclosure type agreements with employees and the companies that they worked for, and you can have them, you know, you could do them, of course, ideally, not ideally, but you must put these things in place before there's a problem, right? I mean, you have to put these in place when everybody loves each other, don't you?
That's right, because you do have a legitimate interest here. You want to protect your trade secrets. You know, you had that secret situation where you had that employee who had access to your customer list. You want to make sure that this guy doesn't just disappear tomorrow and then start soliciting, you know, all your customers saying, "Hey, I'll do it for half price," or something like that. Now, that's a legitimate interest that you have. But what's happening is the courts are becoming increasingly hostile to the traditional non-compete, the agreement that says you can't just work for a competing business for a year after you leave us. They're getting hostile to that. I actually had an attorney, a friend of mine, who said he tried to enforce one of these in the New York courts not too long ago, and the judge just looked him straight in the eye and said, "Look, I haven't enforced one of these in 30 years. Why should yours be the first one that I enforce?"
Wow!
You know, I mean, it's that, you know.
Well, great. I don't understand his ability to do that, because if two people agree on something in a contract, that's a binding contract. And I do know that one of the things that I learned a long time ago, which allowed me to write my own non-compete with this salesperson I was telling you about. I wrote it myself because I knew what you have to have. It cannot be too restrictive in geography and in time.
That's right.
Am I right? Explain how that works.
That's it. You can't have a non-compete that lasts forever, and you can't have a non-compete that's valid for the entire world. Although there's a little exception to that, though. If you have a web-based business, if you're doing stuff on the internet, I have seen some non-competes with which absolutely say, because we sell to people all throughout the world, you agree that, you know, a worldwide restriction on your future activity is reasonable.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So that's the one situation where you might be able to get away with that. But if you're doing a local hair salon or something like that, you're not going to get away with a worldwide restriction on activity. If someone wants to go and do hair in Bangladesh, it's really not your problem.
Well, it's typically for people who are well paid. In other words, you're not going to, your truck driver is not going to, you know, nobody's going to expect him to sign one of these. It's going to be somebody with access to more information, and you make a thing in place for a year for six counties or the northern half of the state, maybe your industry, maybe just your industry for a year, 6 months or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. What happens with these, and the reason why the courts are getting so hostile to them, is that employers try to do too much here.
That's it.
They go too far. It used to be years ago that when you did one of these, you did a blanket non-compete that covered everything, the whole world, whatever, because your goal was not to enforce it. The goal wasn't to get a victory in court. The goal was to go to court and get an injunction against someone, preventing him from doing anything, and tie him up in the courts for years and years and years, you know, until he finally got tired and did something else with his life, like, you know, become a barista at Starbucks or something like that. That was the goal, and the courts are not letting you get away with that.
No, the courts are saying, they're saying you can't keep people from making a living, right? But you, But,
right. That's
but do you
right.
agree with me that the court should not be able if the stipulations are not onerous and not too far reaching, the court should a business owner should expect a non-compete to be upheld?
The answer is absolutely yes. Parties should have freedom of contract, and I totally agree with that. The problem is though that the courts are increasingly putting the pressure on you, the employer, to get the agreement right so that it doesn't overreach.
Right.
That's what's happening in the courts now. I mean, as you know, there are some states like California and Massachusetts that totally ban what they call post-termination non-compete.
I didn't know that.
That extend beyond. Yeah, Massachusetts, California's always been like that. They don't like non-competes that extend beyond the term of employment.
The reason why these things are more important today than ever, Cliff, is because I'm trying to think. Ken Crozen, intellectual property attorney out of D.C., yep. former member of my brain trust, who's now retired, he wrote a piece years ago showing how corporations, but now more and more small business owners, are increasingly using intellectual property leverage more than physical leverage. We're using ones and zeros more than we are trucks and inventory, and that makes these agreements even more important, doesn't it?
Your assets go home every night. You know,
yes.
That's what happens. There are no brick and mortar hard assets anymore. Everything's intellectual property. It's what your people know and their relationships and stuff like that. So it's absolutely more important to be able to prohibit people from hurting you.
So make sure you get an attorney to help you with this.
Yes.
Now, Cliff, I'm going to say to the people also, hold your attorney's comments, his words, make them as few as possible. Don't make it a 6-page document, right?
Exactly right.
Make it just a paragraph, like a short paragraph. Hold on to that thought. Right back to Cliff Inico, succeedinginyourbusiness.com. That's his website. You'll get smarter when you go there.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.